The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon, and about 3 o'clock, he did the same, and about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last, and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me, or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last.'" The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There's a common saying that something is as American as apple pie. But I think that if there's one thing that's even more American than apple pie, it just might be the concept of justice or fairness. Theoretically, if imperfectly, our whole republic has been founded on the principle of fairness. Way back in 1776, we rebelled against King George III because it was unjust, unfair, that he levied taxes on his subjects in the colonies without enough representation back in England. And since that time, Americans have fought and died and grumbled and complained in the cause of justice time and time again, for the right to speak freely and openly, for the right to own weapons, for the right to vote or get an education or get a job with decent pay no matter what race or gender or nationality you are, for the right to organize unions so workers are treated fairly by their employers, no matter how rich and powerful the employers are. Liberty and justice for all, that's part of the Pledge of Allegiance that we all grew up reciting in school every day. We like things to be fair and just. And as imperfect as we are as a people, that's still one of the best things about being American. So we can really relate to those hot, sweaty workers in the parable that we just read, standing in line, waiting for their paychecks. Just imagine when they saw the manager giving those last layabouts a full day's pay. Imagine how their little mental calculators just started ticking away, figuring out, boy, what kind of bonus are we going to get? Because we worked a 12 times longer. And then after they had worked a 12-hour shift in the hot sun, who can blame them for grumbling when all they got for their full day's work was a full day's pay? It really did seem unfair. And we human beings, Americans and otherwise, really hate unfairness. Injustice, and especially injustice against us, that makes us angry. It grieves us down to our very souls. And that's the same reason in the reading that Cheryl just read to us from Jonah. That is the reason that Jonah was so enmity of the Assyrians, who were a cruel and violent, brutal people. And God had sent Jonah to Nineveh specifically to tell them that they were going to be wiped out in 40 days for their sins. Jonah had no problem with that message. He had no qualms about watching the whole city go up in smoke. Those 120,000 people, as God pointed out, and all their critters as well. That was justice. And Jonah didn't have any problem with that. He approved of justice. What he couldn't bear was the idea that after he made a fool of himself, proclaiming God's wrath and judgment, God was just going to do the unthinkable, the unacceptable thing of just forgiving them. After all that nonsense that Jonah had gone through to avoid doing what God told him to do, and we all know the story about the fish and everything that followed, after all of that, it played out exactly like Jonah was afraid it would. It turned out that God is soft on crime. And as soon as the king heard Jonah's warning, he proclaimed a citywide fast, including the animals and the slaves, and he took off his royal robes, and he put on sackcloth, and he dumped ashes on his head as a sign of his repentance. And God believed their repentance. He took notice of it, and he turned his wrath away from Nineveh, and he spared the lives of everyone, from the king down to the last cow. And Jonah could hardly stand the injustice of that. Last week, I talked about forgiveness, how forgiveness is one of the big absolutes. Maybe you can make a case that it's the big absolute in Jesus' teaching. But even though we all know that God commands us to forgive those who have wronged us, there's often one big thing that gets in the way of our doing that, and that is the unfairness of it all. From our big impersonal enemies like ISIS and North Korea and Russia down to our very personal enemies like a friend who betrayed us or a parent who abused us, our efforts at forgiveness sometimes come to a big screeching halt when they crash into that brick wall of our need for justice and fairness. Our human hunger for justice feeds on things like the killing of Osama bin Laden or the arrest of those people that kidnapped the little Amish girl a few years ago. Those things satisfy our craving for justice, making sure that people, the bad people, get what they deserve. In the face of real evil, and this world is full of real evil, forgiveness and grace can be very offensive to us, just as they were to Jonah, who told God, "It is better for me to die than to live in a world where evil gets a pass." Have you ever felt like that? But where our understanding breaks down is that we always assume that justice is on our side. We have this tendency when we read this parable about the workers in the vineyard to always identify ourselves with the sweaty, hard-working, long-suffering workers in the vineyards who are watching the lazy latecomers receiving what they certainly don't deserve. Just like that outraged Jonah standing on a hill watching with self-righteous disgust as the undeserving multitudes of Nineveh celebrate their escape from judgment, we are in the habit of thinking of ourselves as the good guys. It's so easy to forget what we were reminded of last week, that forgiveness began with God forgiving us. We forget, or we've never realized, that if we're really honest with ourselves, the last thing in the world we should desire, the last thing in the world we need, is justice. When the Son of God emptied himself and came to live among us as a servant, out of sheer love, there was no justice in that, or fairness. There was nothing fair about the passion and the crucifixion of our Lord. There's no justice in the fact that we have been adopted as beloved children of God. That's not justice. Everything truly good, everything we've received as followers and friends of Jesus Christ, is pure. pure, unadulterated grace. It's just a glorious, abundant, free gift. And as the master in the parable said, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge me my generosity? I believe that this parable is much less about trying to be gracious with those other unworthy people who seem to be getting off easy, and much more, or maybe all, about realizing that we are the ones who owe absolutely everything, not to what we earn by our 12 hours in the hot sun, but to the infinite and incomprehensible goodness and generosity of our God. The truth is, we are the last and the least. In his outrage at the injustice of God's grace, Jonah cried out, I knew what you were like, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, relenting from disaster, blah, blah, blah. That's why I ran away. His head and his heart were just full of judgment and condemnation, and he was offended by the utter unfairness of the grace of God. But God's grace is so much better than man's justice. The best good news in the universe is that our God does not give us the fair wages of our labor, that he does not repay us what we deserve. Paul wrote this, God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not the result of works. And Psalm 103 tells us that God does not punish us as we deserve or repay us according to our sins and wrongs. As high as the sky is above the earth, so great is his love for those who honor him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our sins from us. As a father is kind to his children, so the Lord is kind to those who honor him. It is the highest human law, to seek for justice and fairness. But the law of God is infinitely higher, infinitely better. And that's the law of love and grace. It gives without seeking anything in return. It forgives 70 times 7 times, infinitely many times. It repays evil with good. It's not offended by generosity, but delights in kindness and compassion. It comes not to serve, to be served, but to serve. It loves with no conditions. As citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and not just citizens of this world or of the United States, there's a whole new way of living and thinking that comes along with that. And for starters, we are blessed if we're not offended by the generosity of our King. Amen.